Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
You know, what's one of the greatest needs that we have in the church today? I would, if I was asked that question, I would say one of the greatest needs that we have in the church today is we have a great need for faithful ministers of the gospel to be raised up. The book of 2 Timothy addresses this. We find the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy and encouraging the young minister Timothy. And talking to, it's kind of a book that's about the changing of the guard. Paul the aged, his ministry is coming to an end. And he is concerned, of course, as he expresses many times in many epistles, his concern for the church and what's going to take place afterwards, where the false teachers will come in and rend the flock and so forth. It was a warning that certainly came true later on after Paul passed off the scenes. But he was concerned then about raising up faithful men under God. And that's what we find in the book of 2 Timothy. We find him talking to Timothy about the proper function of a minister. He uses a number of words to describe him: a soldier, a striver, a husbandman, a student, a worker, a servant. It's just a tremendous book where the aged Apostle Paul charges the young man, the young minister Timothy, to be faithful unto God. That's the type of lesson I think that we need today, and I think it's one of the greatest needs in the church. Well, Dr. Abner Chow, who is the assistant professor of biblical studies at the Master's Seminary and College, he has been speaking with the students there about 2 Timothy as well, and wanted to get him on the broadcast today as part of our Master's Minutes segment of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast to talk about this issue and the importance of training and challenging young and faithful Christian ministers of the gospel. Dr. Chow, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Always a joy to be with you.
Well, Dr. Chow, I gave a little bit of an introduction there to 2 Timothy. Tell us what you're doing in teaching this subject to your students there at the Master's College, and give us a little bit of an introduction, if you would please, to the book of 2 Timothy.
Yeah, as you mentioned, 2 Timothy is this charge to Timothy. It is a changing of the guard from an aged Paul who's about to die to give Timothy, to hand over to Timothy his ministry. You could put it this way, that the book of 2 Timothy, in a sense, is the climax of all of Paul's ministry, both in writing and in doing.
Hmm.
And what I try to stress to the students is that Paul has been very intentional, both about his ministerial labors as well as his epistles that he's written. And everything has stemmed out from that vision on the Damascus Road where he sees the exalted Christ and his glory. And in that moment, Paul knows that Jesus is the Son of Man in Daniel 7, to whom every knee will bow, to whom every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. And so Paul's mission is not only to Jew but to Gentile, and he goes into great endeavors to fulfill and to accomplish that agenda, that work. And so his labor and acts is to spearhead the mission to the Gentiles, and he does that by pushing the boundaries of where the gospel has gone further and further and further, and a key city in that entire endeavor is the city of Ephesus, because it is the gateway to the Gentile world. It is the hub of travel between the East and the West. And so Paul establishes kind of a base of operations, so to speak, at Ephesus, and he puts young Timothy there. Mm-hmm. And we see that in 1 Timothy, and it is implied in 2 Timothy, because Ephesus is the critical city to continue the ministry of the church to be worldwide. And on top of that, and coupled with that, Paul has written these letters, which are not random, which are not giving just tidbits and random pieces of information. Rather, it is a cohesive, culminating message. each epistle builds on the previous one. Each epistle is designed to address issues so that collectively you have an entire corpus of inspired literature that is needed by the church for all time.
Mm-hmm.
And
what
and Timothy is the document, is the letter, the final letter that binds all of that together.
Mm-hmm.
It is the capstone letter that takes all the doctrine that Paul has been instructing the church, all the practices that Paul has been instructing the church, and all his labor of establishing now this Gentile network and this Jewish network of the church, and he's handing all of that to Timothy. And so 2 Timothy, on one hand, is to be sure a ministerial letter. It is part of the pastoral epistles.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it is a profound and deep and capstone doctrinal theological treatise that Paul is handing to Timothy and saying, this is now under your care. And as we know, the kind of a key verse in 2 Timothy is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, which exhorts Timothy to be strong in the grace which is only found in Christ Jesus, and to raise up faithful men and entrust to them what he has heard from Paul and what Paul has heard and given to him through and in front of many witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that handoff, but it is really in sum that the Pauline ministry now becomes Timothy's ministry, and through that we take up that same mantle to this very day. And our job is not to innovate or to create new ideas of ministry, but to uphold what those before us have faithfully done over and over and over and given their lives for.
Yeah, exactly. When we look at this, and you talked about Timothy being put there at Ephesus, wow, talk about a difficult place to minister the gospel. You've got the Temple of Diana there, one of the seven wonders of the world. You've got this tremendous church that started and is going well, but the riots that broke out there, it's kind of interesting with what we see on the news today. But here's Timothy, a place there, called by God to be there, and then handpicked and handworked with by the Apostle Paul. And the last letter that Paul writes before his martyrdom is a letter that deals with the office and the duty of a faithful Christian minister that he writes there. That alone highlights the importance of faithful Christian ministry, right?
Absolutely. Leadership in the church is essential. And the nature of Paul's exhortation to Timothy is to raise up faithful men who are able to teach others. And so this isn't just a generic raise up faithful people, but rather he's looking for men, males, leaders, elders, pastor teachers of the church. He's looking to that specific category. Now, of course, those leaders, as we know in not only Paul's other writings, but even 2 Timothy itself, are going to be those who train up not just other faithful men to take the leadership of the church, but those leaders will shepherd their people and help churches to be all that God has designed them and ordained them and commanded them to be. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it all starts with leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And really, kind of one step behind that, if we look at 2 Timothy, it all starts with God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen.
One of the predominant emphases in every section of Paul's writings to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy itself is uphold that faithful standard of words, rightly divide the word of truth. You know that God's word is inspired. You know and abide in what you have learned and are convinced of. Preach the word. And even at the end of the book of 2 Timothy, what does Paul ask Timothy to bring? Not only his cloak, but bring me the books.
Mm-hmm.
Bring me my Bible, Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is this reoccurring thrust of it's always about God's word. We don't need to create something new. We don't need to innovate in the sense of fabricate a new type of ministry. Rather, we need to return and hold fast and not move from what God has laid out for us. And that is the key for leadership.
Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul doesn't hold back on telling Timothy how difficult the task is going to be. He doesn't gloss over the suffering that is going to be associated with the serving as the minister of the church there. There's a lot of suffering involved, and he warns them that perilous times are coming. He says in chapter 3 and verse 1 through 7, it's in that that slot there where he says, and know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Romans seem to give us the same list of things, the form of godliness, denying the power thereof, and covetousness and so forth that he mentions taking place there. But yet, he is basically saying each generation has its own onslaught of these apostates that arise, the people that come in to try to twist the truth. But Timothy, it is vitally important that you hold the line, that you a deposit has been given to you, and that deposit is the doctrines that I have taught you from the Word of God, and you are now entrusted with that deposit, right? That's a key word in the study of 2 Timothy, that they've been given a deposit or entrusted with this the keeping of the gospel, right?
Absolutely. And what I remind my students why 2 Timothy is such an important book for them to understand, no matter where they end up in life, is that as Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 3:1, like you just mentioned, that the evil days will come. And in the end, it only gets worse. And so if you want to have an enduring ministry, because Paul's not just writing to Timothy to just take the gospel and the ministry just one more generation. He's writing to Timothy to entrust to him the responsibility of making sure this ministry lasts until Christ comes to the very last day. And to have that enduring ministry, we need to have anticipated already and expected that there will be immense resistance and opposition and hostility. If you expect things to be easy, when things go wrong, you will change. Mm-hmm. But if you know that you're going to encounter resistance and hardship, then the call is, you followed me, Timothy, not only in my teaching and in my conduct and in my purpose, but you also followed me, as it says in 2 Timothy 3:11, in my persecutions and in my sufferings.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know what you have to do. You know that if you're godly, you're going to have to suffer. You don't control your circumstances. Nevertheless, this is what inevitably will happen because of the design of this world in its fallen state. And therefore, your job is not when trouble comes to run away, or to try to change Christianity to make it fit with what the world or even some of the unbelievers in your church are demanding. Rather, your job is to follow what has already been established, to go and abide in what you have already learned and are convinced of, and to guard that deposit so that faithful men and leaders in the church thereby will have that deposit for future generations and generations. And that's the only way you can have an enduring ministry.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you try to compromise and make nice with the world is the moment you lose relevance and you actually make your ministry obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going back to the truth of Scripture that has an enduring ministry. And Paul doesn't just charge Timothy with this very difficult task. He gives him the way that Paul himself has endured. I think that's so important, because sometimes we face discouragement in these trying times and we don't know how to handle it. And there's just one simple phrase that Paul gives Timothy that really echoes throughout this last epistle, and that is found in 2 Timothy 2:8, and it is this: remember Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Raised from the dead.
Yes.
Of the seed of David, according to my gospel. And so Paul says to Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. Now, the phrase Jesus Christ there, as opposed to Christ Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, when you just see the words Jesus Christ, it stresses his humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds Timothy, Jesus suffered more than you did.
Mm.
He never endured something that you don't have to endure. You will always suffer less than he did, and he endured it, so you can too. And he rose from the dead. He has full victory because he is resurrected. He is resurrected from. That means he had to go in and come out of. So he has complete victory. And he has complete victory over the most fearsome foe in our human existence, and that is death itself. Timothy, your champion, your hero, went before you. And so you can go there too. Because even when you are faced with the valley of the shadow of the death, you'll be raised, just like Jesus Christ was. And he is the seed of David. And that brings up all kinds of glorious promises of how Jesus will victoriously reign in the end, and so he's worth it. And so Paul says, Timothy, this has gotten me through, it'll get you through, and that's exactly what he says in verses 9 through 10 of chapter 2. This is the reason why he's endured everything, because he's remembered Jesus Christ.
Amen. And you talked a little bit about the apostle telling Timothy, not only this is what I'm saying, but you have seen this in my life, Timothy. It speaks about the importance of modeling the truth, you know, actually living it out. And, you know, we're speaking with someone who's at the Master's College, Dr. Chow, with your interaction with John MacArthur. And in our day and age, with Dr. MacArthur being the president of the college, he's been someone who has been a faithful example for so many years. And here's the Apostle Paul telling Timothy, yes, you know, you can follow me as I follow Christ. But as you rightly pointed out, even beyond that, look to Christ himself. So we've got men that should be faithful to the truth, and they should be faithful in their own life. They should be examples of that faithfulness in their own life. But even beyond that, we got the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered as well, and he sympathizes with us as we go through our suffering as ministers of the gospel, all in all, as just followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, right?
Amen. Absolutely.
So he tells Timothy that the standard for the ministers needs to be very high. He lists it very clearly there for him, that he's got to be separated in his personal life. He's got to be dedicated to the service that is given to him. He's got to be diligent in the word of God and so forth. If he's going to do the task that is laid out before him, that's a very, very important aspect of the Christian ministry, isn't it? As we see so many fall by the wayside today and bring shame and disgrace upon the name of Christ, it is vitally important that we live the truth ourselves.
Absolutely. And what I remind students of is that sometimes we kind of switch roles in American evangelicalism. We try to take charge of ensuring the results of the church when Paul has so clearly stated in 2 Timothy 2 that the foundation of the church is going to always remain sure. God is always the one who preserves the church. God is the one who always upholds the church. He will not let it turn around. He will not let it dissolve. The gates of Hades shall not prevail. But our job is not to ensure the results of the church's work. Our job is to remain faithful. And he reminds Timothy in that same chapter, in the next verse, after verse 19, talking about that foundation, that speaking of houses and God's household, in every house there are, on one hand, vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. And our job is to be a clean vessel. Our job is not to worry about the results. Our job is to be faithful and pure before the Lord. And I love the wording that Paul gives here. He says that if we do that, then not only are we purified, but we are useful to the master. And the idea of useful doesn't just speak to functionality, that he can use us and that we can operate a certain way, but rather it speaks to a positive relationship, that we become God's go-to person, that he views us in a favorable light as a favored and wonderful and useful servant, that we are pleasing the Lord thereby. That's the notion entailed in usefulness, and that's what we all want to be. Mm-hmm. We all want to be a delight to the Lord because of how we are usable instruments in his hands. And the only way we can do that is not by trying to make the church a certain way to guarantee results, but to be faithful in our lives. Mm-hmm. And to be pure in our lives, and to not only teach, but to live it, in word and in deed.
Exactly. You're exactly right. Let me remind our listening audience, we're speaking with Dr. Abner Chow. He's the Assistant Professor of Biblical Studies at the Master's College and Seminary. The Master's College and Seminary, you can find out more about that at masters.edu. That's www.masters.edu. We're talking about 2 Timothy, about Paul's charge to Timothy. Here's Paul the aged, and he's passing off the scene. His ministry is coming to an end. He's been wonderfully used by the Lord. He writes two-thirds of the New Testament Scripture. He's the greatest missionary that's ever walked upon the face of the earth. Just a remarkable ministry. But now he is looking at those who were come after him, and specifically Timothy, who has been installed at Ephesus to be the minister at the church at Ephesus, and he's giving him a number of instructions in this passage. We talked about a bunch of those already, or a number of those already. We talked about the need for faithful ministers is great, and how important the Word of God is in the minister's work. We've also talked about the idea that the standards for the minister are high, that he must actually model this in his own life. But Paul ends this way in chapter 4. He speaks about that the rewards are great for a faithful minister as well, and I don't think we should lose sight of that. He says this in 4, 6, and 8. He says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. So the faithful minister, he may be attacked here in the current culture that we live in. He may be despised and live a lonely existence and at times and so forth. The work's going to be difficult. But if he remains faithful, he will be rewarded by the Lord, right?
Absolutely. And all of that is based upon the fact that God has saved us. The reason that we have a crown of righteousness, as it says in 2 Timothy 4:8, in heaven is because of the righteous judge, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is his righteousness that ensures that we will be righteous in the end, and that has transformed us, and he has transformed us to live faithfully and empowered us by his grace to live faithfully. And so we can experience that reward of righteousness in the very end. And so even, I think Paul's message to Timothy is, even when it looks like you've lost everything, you've been spent, you've finished, there's nothing left for you, henceforth there is everything left for you. And you don't need to forget that, Timothy, that because we have been justified by faith, and that means we have Christ's righteousness, which means we do stand right with God, which means in the end we will experience the ramifications of that righteousness as we receive that crown. And Paul, at the very end, reminds Timothy that he's not asking Timothy to do something impossible. Faithfulness to the very end is possible, and Paul says, I've done that, Timothy. I've run that race, and you can too. And the language here recounts what Paul has said earlier. He talks about being offered up as a drink offering. Well, he said that in Philippians. He talks about fighting the good fight and running the race. He's talked about that in Philippians and 1 Corinthians. He's talked about keeping the faith. He's alleged that in those same books. And so Paul says, I've set out on this journey of ministry to do these things, and I have done them. And Timothy, you can too. And it's just a tremendous encouragement to young Timothy, who, like a lot of our students at the Master's College, are young, and they're going into ministry, and they're going into life to live faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're just thinking, how am I going to make it? And you remember, like you said, the human models, and that's evidence that Jesus Christ has always been faithful, and so they should remember him.
Well, well put. I'm glad that to hear you training the young men there at the Master's College and Seminary in such a way. Some of the stalwarts of my generation are now getting up there in years, and a lot of them, it's time to pass the torch off to others, and just been praying the Lord of the harvest that he would raise up faithful ministers. We're in desperate need, more than a political solution to this country's need, more than even an economic rebound or anything like that. The greatest need that I think we have in America right now is the need for faithful ministers of the gospel of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're involved in doing that, raising up these men at the Master's College and Seminary. So, Dr. Abner Chow, we thank you for the work that you're doing, and we thank you for the taking time out today to talk to us a little bit about your studies.
Thank you very much. It is always a privilege and joy to be with you. Thank you for your prayers in this endeavor. You're right. It is an essential mission right now.
You're absolutely right. Thank you once again. Look forward to talking to you again soon. That was Dr. Abner Chow. Again, he's the Assistant Professor of Biblical Studies at the Master's College. Their website is www.biblicalstudies.org. www.masters.edu. That's www.masters.edu. Let me say this, that last point that we made about the Apostle Paul talking about us being rewarded by Christ. The prospects for the people of God are very, very good. Our best days are not behind us. Our best days are in front of us. Remain faithful to the Word of God. Don't give in. Don't capitulate to the culture. Remain faithful. We will be rewarded by Christ. Remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.